required to catch each live broadcast. This could be due to your job, school, or just life in general. We understand, which is why you don't have to miss out. The AFR podcast page is where you can find all of your favorite shows. Whether it's old or new, you can listen and download each broadcast that you've missed, including the ones you've already heard. Just visit the podcast page at AFR.net. Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano, and now Steve Paisley Jordahl joins us. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, everybody.
He's the man in black today.
Yep, because you're mine. I crossed the line. I walked the line.
Yeah. I crossed the line.
Well, you crossed the line by calling me yours. So,
good weekend, Steve, for you. You went to ball game, right?
I did. I went to Heather and I went to. We got tickets on the 50 on the 40 yard line at Mississippi State. To
right.
See, now, I
got Heather's an Alabama fan. Right.
I, roll Tide. I had to do it. But no, we did. We went to that game and we had a good time. It was a good game for Alabama fans. And then on Sunday, Heather and I went to Greenwood, Mississippi, over in the Delta, to see Sandy Patty in concert.
And I said this morning when you mentioned this in our story meeting, I didn't know that Sandy Patty was still singing.
She has stopped the touring Okay, she can no longer hit the high notes, by her own
admission. Boy, what a voice she had in her younger days.
But you know what? Her middle range still sounds the same. So she was there, by the way, with Dick and Mel Tunney. I don't know if that name means anything to you, but there was a group back in the 80s called First Call, 80s, 90s.
Oh, yeah.
Marty McCall. Well, Melody Tunney was a founding member of that. And Dick, her husband, and she wrote just tons of Christian songs that you know.
Okay.
A lot of the Sandy Patties.
Listen, Sandy Patty, that was one of the whatever happened to.
Right.
Yeah.
I wondered, and you said you went to Greenwood, Mississippi to see her in concert at a church, I guess.
She's still doing concerts. And so she used to sell out arenas.
Oh, yeah.
But now she's.
She's 68 and she stopped. Here's the thing. Two things I remember about Sandy Patty.
Yeah.
In her prime, so to speak, you remember the song Love in Any Language?
Yeah, she sang that.
Yeah.
Wow. That was one of my favorite songs.
She sang that last night?
Oh, did she?
Yeah, you bet she did.
One of my favorite songs ever is Love in Any Language by Sandy Patty. Just go listen to it. And her voice is just from God.
Yeah.
God said, and I will bestow unto Sandy Patty
yes.
A voice of an angel.
Yeah, there you
anyway,
go.
Love in Any Language. And then I remember her also singing the national anthem for July 4th. In New York, it may have been at Ellis Island or somewhere, and I think it was about Bush, George W. Bush was president. He was there, and she sang the national anthem. You can look up Sandy Patty sings national anthem and see what
you doing that?
Yeah, see what pops up. I think my memory serves me right there. It was probably in the 90s.
Well, it wouldn't have been George Bush then, President
1986.
Bush. Oh, you're talking about the first Bush.
I was wrong about the Bush. So it was H.W.
H.W.
If it was 86.
86. So she sang the national anthem in
19. He would have been vice president at the time.
Yeah.
Is that right?
80, yeah, 88. It was.
So she was she was invited.
It was the 100th anniversary of the Statue of Liberty.
She was invited by. So President Reagan right there. It was. Okay. So Reagan was the president. H.W. was the
vice president.
I don't know which one of them was in New York for this celebration, but it got national attention. So basically the whole country was watching this event, and she was the one who was invited to sing the national
anthem. And probably a lot of people going, who is that?
Right.
Because Christians knew.
Yes.
People who listened to the radio.
But
and
not
stuff like that.
But not the general public.
Right.
But anyway,
yeah.
What an incredible.
I remember her songs with Larnell Harris. I've Just Seen Jesus. Do you remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those two could sing.
Larnell Harris was actually one of my better students.
Yeah.
At the time. This was back, when I could really let it go, too.
And when you could sing. Back when you could.
You get Larnell and me together, forget the Gaithers. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, no, I know what you're saying. Yeah.
We were known as Larnell.
The Rock smells with your cooking, brother.
We were known as Larnell and Tim. You don't remember that?
No, I don't remember that.
Look at it. Google it.
No, I'm not Googling it either.
Larnell and Tim in concert. Check it out. Anyway.
Steve, I can't believe you're looking up Larnell and Tim.
I want to see what something's going to come up.
I had some throat issues.
Was this before or after you blew your knee out and couldn't make it to the NBA?
Anyway.
You're like, you ever seen?
It was one of those what might have been stories.
Yeah. Here's what comes
Secret
up.
Secret Life of Walter Mitty.
Tim and Larnell.
Tim and Larnell. A Facebook post, Thank You, Jesus, by Larnell Starkey and the Spiritual Seven. Larnell Starkey and the Spiritual Seven Gospel Singers with Tim Starkey.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Starkey brothers, I'll tell you.
I had a stage.
Ringo was there.
That was my stage name, Starkey. Tim Starkey.
That's
your stage name, man. I'm telling you. You've got a talent. You've got a talent for tall tales, because you keep these tall tales going. Yeah, that's my stage name. Who would choose Tim Starkey as their
My grandchildren name? Are going to find out a lot about me when I...
You know,
all of it's going to be frankly disappointing to
when they get to be adults.
You know, Starkey,
I've told them all these stories.
You know, Starkey is Ringo Starr's real last name.
Is it
Beatles?
Starkey.
Starkey. Richard Starkey.
And he changed it, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
He didn't choose it as a stage name.
For those literalists out there, I'm just kidding. I don't tell my grandchildren fibs about my life and music.
Before we get into the Steve stories,
please.
Can I just mention something here?
Is it breaking?
It's not breaking.
Oh.
And some of our listeners have probably seen this on the news. Here's the headline. San Francisco Bay boaters forced to fight off pirates as seafaring bandits ravage community. Now, this is an actual thing.
This is a serious story.
This is a serious story. That shows you the amount of decay going on in this country, that people are fighting off pirates. Now, they're coming
like we're off the coast of North Africa now.
Yes, exactly. That's the kind of thing I'm thinking. You know, the Tom Hanks in that movie, yeah. Captain Phillips.
Yeah.
This is coming to America. It's
so that people out in their boats in the San Francisco Bay or somewhere in that area,
yes.
And they're being robbed.
Their residents living on houseboats and yachts in the San Francisco Bay resorted to physically fighting off seafaring bandits. I can't believe I'm saying this. Who are ransacking their ships. Another woman said she rescued a man whose sailboat drifted into the bay without a motor or any way to get back to shore after one of the pirates, which is what the resident called the burglars, cut his boat line during an argument.
Listen, right there next door in Oakland, we talked about this story in this meeting, this story in our meeting this morning. I read over the weekend, or maybe it was Friday or it was Thursday, Oakland, California, part of the Bay Area. Their city... The NAACP, which is the Historic Civil Rights Organization, they've spoken out, the local chapter of the NAACP there, saying, we need more policing, we need law and order, our town is being decimated by crime. I'm paraphrasing now, but that's basically what the NAACP is saying.
Right.
The NAACP is being criticized by the lefty progressives in Oakland as basically championing white supremacy.
Yeah.
Huh? Because
the NAACP is not black enough.
Yeah. Well, they're saying in order to really be black, you have to be for no police and social justice.
And what you get are pirates.
Right. But the people who actually live in the town, the black inner city black community who live there, residents, are saying what's happening here is unacceptable. We cannot live like this, and we need police and law enforcement and our city officials to do something. So that's what they're asking for. And then the people, the progressives are saying, no, you don't need to punish crime because that's injustice to young African-American males, for example.
Yeah.
So anyway,
I saw a tweet
related to your story there where you're saying San Francisco.
And Oakland. I see Oakland Harbor as well. Go ahead.
I saw a tweet, a video on my Twitter feed. There was a shooting. I think it was in Pittsburgh. I'm not sure. But there was a shooting, and police responded, and it was in a black neighborhood, and the people there would not let a white cop in to they were so angry.
Where was this?
I think it was in Pittsburgh.
Well, listen.
They were so angry at the police. The black officers, they let in grudgingly, but in the rudest and most vile of terms, they told this white officer, you're not welcome in our neighborhood.
Listen, we were having a
meeting. It's broken, folks.
We were having a meeting this morning, not the show meeting. Ed and I were part of. Steve, you weren't in this meeting, but it was brought up. The fact that there is becoming an increasing police shortage in America. And that's going to have big ramifications. And they were saying this, in this meeting, one of our colleagues here was saying this is not only affecting big cities, but it's also now starting to affect mid-sized cities and even smaller communities because of the lack of the police officers that they're retiring and they're not being replaced.
Right.
Because they don't have candidates.
Right.
For the jobs. And furthermore, I think this is a valid point. If you have to lower your standards, you see a lot of these police academies now saying, hey, you can come in obese, we'll take you. You know, we're out of shape, we'll take you. Because
like the U.S. military.
Because we're desperate.
Same thing.
We're desperate for warm bodies.
Right.
And so what you get there, I'm not talking about necessarily the physical aspect of this that normally police academies require a certain standard there, but also the fact that you're going to get young, inexperienced people that are joining police forces. Well, that's a recipe for disaster too. Because you get a lot of young, inexperienced cops, then they're not gonna have time to work with seasoned cops to learn how to defuse situations.
Right.
So they're gonna get into fights. They're gonna do things that are gonna escalate. That you would say yes, that's police brutality. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
You're asking for problems when the veteran cops are retiring and they're not being replaced by veteran cops who are coming along through the system. Does that make sense?
Right. Yes, it does.
I cover this for American Family News, and I'll tell you there's two main reasons why this shortage is happening. Number one, it is terrible to be a cop right now as far as the danger you're in from ambushes and the violence that's going on against cops. It's way out of control. Number two, you have the DAs that are handing down, like they're dismissing cases. So you're a police officer and you work a case and you make an arrest and you button up all the details and you get this guy over to the DA and he lets him go. What's the point?
Right.
Right. Let me tell you a third reason that's impacting police work. And I told you, I predicted this would happen after George Floyd, and it's happening. Because I see videos of it every day, and I hear about it. Since the George Floyd incident happened, it has opened the doors wide open for open defiance of cops and policemen. Open defiance. So now a lot of people, the police say, get out of the car. Well, they just give the finger to the cop,
sand.
Or cuss them back, or say "make me."
Yeah,
and you see these police trying to break up crowds or break up fights, or you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So there is a total, not a total, there is a growing open defiance and disrespect for authority. Okay. We were baby boomers generation. And I think even the previous generation, who came by? Who came after us?
The silent generation, but
Back to the millennials.
Gen X.
Okay, I think after us. You can stop at millennials. Millennials still had a respect for law and order and respect for authority for the most part. You get below that, again, the George Floyd incident, that changed everything. That was a game changer for police. Now police have to deal not only with just criminal activity and crisis situations, but they have to deal with people who don't want to comply with what they say do. So anyway, that's another problem. And I don't know where this is going to end, but I do know that there's a growing police shortage, staffing going on all over America.
Yeah.
And that's going to make things worse, unfortunately. Yep. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Steve, what do you
all
got
right.
next?
Yale University.
Yale. Not like Yale. Not Rebel Yale.
No, we could talk about the Southern accent in a minute if
okay,
you want.
Okay, yeah, but Yale University.
Yale University, the Ivy League school. Researchers have developed a new airborne method for delivering the mRNA vaccine directly to your lungs.
For COVID.
And whatever else they want to use to alter your DNA.
Now, you say airborne. You're talking about like people might use if they have like asthma?
Yeah,
or something.
like an inhaler.
Okay.
Or like something sprayed from a helicopter over a neighborhood.
That's where you're driving it.
Well, I'm telling you, listen, we already have academics that are calling for the use of this compulsory and not without public knowledge. Did you know that there's something called moral bioenhancements?
I've never heard of that.
This is there are certain things that they can drugs that they can give you that will cause you to act more morally according to whoever this is. So less angry, less aggressive maybe, or all of these more empathetic. But they are talking about bioengineering morality into people using this technology.
Who's they? Who's talking about this?
Specifically, we've got...
I'm not doubting you.
No.
I want to know if you have any names. So you're
Parker Crutchfield of Western Michigan and Homer Stryker.
Parker and Homer. I knew they were by this. Did you not think so?
They were the first names on my mind.
I saw those guys down at the Circle K. And listen, I wouldn't... I saw them. They were... making a couple of heating up a couple
you,
of frozen enchiladas in the
Homer.
Microwave.
It is necessary to morally bioenhance the population in order to prevent ultimate harm.
I personally think we're a ways away from that, but the fact that the technology is here and there are people in the professional scientific community who are advocating this, I do think it's a minority. However, we are talking and have been having discussions in meetings here. There is a push, for example, to add the COVID vaccine shot to children's required vaccines in order to go to school.
Right.
And listen, I have no doubt that there will be a strong push. However the mechanism plays out to force people to be vaccinated.
Now you don't even this have to sounds, tell them they're being vaccinated.
I don't think that they're going to be spraying that from a helicopter anytime soon. But the fact
they
that
are
that,
black helicopters.
If it's
black helicopters, you watch.
That's right. Where this is conspiracy central. But listen, how many times have we jokingly said what we said was a conspiracy a year ago? Now we're talking about it.
I'm telling you.
And
it's
so
not
this,
that far off.
Yeah,
it's not. They were going to make COVID vaccines mandatory, and there is legitimate elements within legitimate, meaning authorities within the FDA and the World Health Organization and the National Institutes of Health that wanted to make it mandatory and that think that forcing you to have it. Now, they didn't specifically talk about the aerosol version, but making you have a COVID vaccine, bringing you in and forcefully injecting you.
There were entire occupations where that was true. So in the health field, in hospitals,
it is
the military.
A minute leap to say now, since, okay, well, we're going to force it anyway. Now we can force it. We don't have to tell them.
I would, anyway, Our purpose in having this story is to
scare you.
Yes, to inform people that there are folks talking about this.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's a short leap or a long leap to from here to there, we'll just have to wait and see. But we don't want that to be a leap at all. No. And people have to know what's going on.
All right, I'm done scaring everybody.
Yeah.
Well, President Trump is up to his old antics. He's handing out nicknames. I don't know if we talked about this.
We did.
On Thursday.
We did a little bit last week.
So
you knew it was coming.
Yeah.
You knew Nikki Haley, he was been thinking about what to call her.
Right.
He's got a new nickname for Nikki Haley.
Bird Brain.
Yes.
That's what he's calling her. And they backed it up, apparently. His campaign bought a bird cage and some bird feed and put it outside of a hotel room door that she was staying in.
Yeah, because she's on the campaign trail. So, first of all, I've been thinking about this since you brought this story up. And Tim mentioned it this over the weekend. How did they know where she was staying in the hotel?
Campaigns talk to each other, I think.
Yeah, what hotel she's staying, but the hotel room. They put this out outside her hotel room.
Now, President Trump himself didn't do it.
No.
Okay?
Right.
We don't want to insinuate.
he didn't toilet paper her house.
No, he didn't.
I wouldn't put it
It was just a – okay, I would call it an innocent prank.
Yeah.
But it's provocative. President Trump last week said he was going to start referring to Nikki Haley, the former governor of South Carolina, and a presidential rival. I don't know if you're a rival when you're 50 points down. But
right.
But I would say this. He said he's going to start referring to her as Nikki Bird Brain Haley.
Yes.
I shouldn't laugh. It's not funny. But
Brain generally is a funny insult.
Right. Okay.
But.
Except if you're the one being insulted.
Yes. but to your point, that's what he's going to start calling her, Bird Brain.
Yeah, Bird Brain. So, that's right. You got this sanctimonious.
Yeah.
That's the governor of Florida.
Yeah.
He said...
And meatball, wasn't it? Didn't he?
No, he said he wasn't going to go that far. Talking about
after he said it.
Yes.
He said it once.
After he said it. So anyway, this is... What I'm referring to is the team-building skills of Donald Trump as he prepares to take on the Democrat. He wants to get all the band together.
Yeah.
All the Republicans together. So the sanctimonious is the governor of Florida.
Right.
Bird Brain is the former governor of South Carolina.
There's a whole Wikipedia page on nicknames that he uses.
Now he's referring to Pence as Lying Mike. That's a pretty
Biden is Corrupt Joe.
Corrupt Joe.
He took the.
I don't know why Pence is like polling like 2%. I don't know.
Is he that high?
Lying Mike. Is he that high? Anyway, the Bird Brain. That's a new one.
Yeah, he's got several, according to Wikipedia, he's got several for Joe Biden.
Here's what I've said before. I don't, of course, who really understands the mind of Donald Trump, right?
Right.
But the thing I've said is, if you're going to need, if you're President Trump and you're going to win the Republican nomination, as it appears he's on his way to doing, although we're still several months from even the first vote, you've got 50%. 50+% of the Republican voters say they want Donald Trump. Roughly 50% say we want somebody else, but those people can't decide who they want between the other candidates, right?
Right.
So if you're Donald Trump, to me, the smart strategy is to quit calling all your Republican competitors bird brains and all this. And try to build some bridges there so that when it comes time to run against Joe Biden, all the Republicans are excited and enthused and going to get out and vote for you. But if you spend your time running down and disparaging other Republicans, they're not going to be excited. Bird Brain's not going to get out on the campaign trail with you.
Right.
Huh? The sanctimonious is not going to say, yay, Trump, I'm with you, brother.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I don't understand the strategy there. But anyway, have a great day, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.